the move to electric vehicles in the United States is not just a function of kind of environmental considerations around carbon emissions, but it's now intimately tied to this idea of energy security, energy independence, or at least independence from places like Russia and China and other, you know, entities of concern to the United States and to its allies.
The Financial Survival Network. Now more than ever. The Financial Survival Network.
Welcome. This is Financial Survival Network. I'm your host, Kerry Lutz, and we are here getting an update, a sponsor update from FPX Nickel's CEO, Martin Turan. And Martin, it's great to have you back on. You know, I find your journey here kind of interesting. For 7 years, you've been relentless in your efforts to establish FPX Nickel to attract attention, validation for the types of deposits you have, and investment, even putting your own money into it in the beginning. Now, in the last several months, rather than you pursuing investors and other interested parties, they're pursuing you.
Yeah, it is a journey. We're still not where we want to be, certainly in terms of the valuation of the company. We think there are better days ahead for us here as we go. But yeah, FPX is focused on, you know, the discovery and the advancement of a new style of nickel deposit. You know, nickel deposits historically have tended to be either sulfide deposits that you would typically find in places like Canada or Russia, or laterite deposits in places like Indonesia and the Philippines. The type of nickel that we target, the awarowite nickel, which is an alloy of nickel and iron, is new. And, you know, new is sometimes viewed as being risky in the mining industry. But in this case, you know, new is good. And there are a lot of reasons why we think there are significant advantages to this style of nickel mineralization. And as we go on, as we continue to de-risk our flagship Baptiste project, we're seeing more and more interest in this, and we're seeing that from multiple different sources, as you mentioned.
Hey, along those lines, so when we last talked, you had received a $12 million investment from a major investor who at this point must still go unnamed. Then you got $725,000 from the Canadian government. And just today, you had announced an alliance with the Japan Organization for Metals and Energy Security, otherwise known as JOGMEC, which is a government agency similar to those of other Western nations around the world who have woken up and realized that they don't have enough battery metals. And this transition to electrification is unstoppable. It's going ahead. So their goal, I guess, is like every other agency's to maximize the amount of battery metals that can be produced.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, if we would just talk about those three investments, was one after another that you mentioned there. First of all, the new $12 million investment that we took in the fourth quarter of last year, it's not from an investor as such. It really is from a large company. It is a very strategic investment. As you mentioned, we haven't been in a position to disclose the identity of that party, but I could tell you it's a very large, you know, well-known, serious group that's not just doing it as a straight sort of financial investment, but it truly is strategic in nature for them. Then you mentioned the government grant that we got from the federal government of Canada under their critical mineral strategy. We were the only junior nickel mining company to receive funding under that federal program. And we're going to use that money to demonstrate that we can produce battery-grade nickel sulfate at an expanded scale for that EV battery market. And now on to the latest news with respect to JOGMEC. And as you said, we've had a lot of interest from JOGMEC and other Japanese entities over the last year and a half on our project. JOGMEC, their entire sort of existence is predicated on recognizing that Japan has certain limitations in terms of its own endowment of natural resources. So it is a government state agency that goes out in the world, partners with typically Western companies, Western mining companies, to find new deposits of critical minerals and other metals that are fundamental and strategic importance to Japan as a country, to their industrial base. So for them to identify FPX and to identify that this awarowite nickel is a valid, a technically and economically feasible source of nickel supply for the EV battery supply chain, that's a huge validation and endorsement of the work that we've been doing over these many years. You know, JOGMEC's interest is specifically in nickel for that EV battery supply chain. Of course, we know, you know, the brand names of the large Japanese auto companies, the large battery companies and chemical companies as well that are involved in this supply chain. And JOGMEC has really been tasked by the government to go and find, you know, the next generation of nickel mines. And they've chosen FPX to kind of begin that journey.
And that really is notable, important development. I'm just wondering, you had the recent success of your pilot nickel extraction plant. And so has that kind of paved the way or maybe erased the last concern about the types of nickel deposits you have?
Yeah, to some extent, yes. So we, again, we're doing something new here. No one has ever explored for, much less developed, an awarowite nickel deposit, discovered one and then developed it into becoming an operating mine. So as part of that journey, there are a lot of different de-risking steps that we've gone through over the years. And the most recent sort of major one was the pilot scale demonstration of the metallurgical flow sheet. That was basically a very large-scale test, almost 20 tons of mineralization from our flagship Baptiste deposit, putting that through the mineral process flow sheet to show that, yes, we can recover this mineral using a very simple process, a very clean process, into a very high-grade product that can then go downstream into the EV battery supply chain. So certainly safe to say that, you know, JOGMEC and others have been, you know, watching that and took note of that news. And it is, as I said at the time, a massive de-risking event in the company's history. And the announcements that we've had and the JOGMEC announcement is just the latest one, shows that, you know, that's just not just me saying that, that's third parties then kind of validating that work as well.
Yeah. And hey, when you're doing something new, validation is really essential because that shows acceptance by the market, by the end users who are going to be doing the offtakes, and of course, by investors. So really important there. Hey, I should also mention that FPX is included in the new Sprott Asset Management Nickel Miners ETF. And it seems to have had some immediate effects, perhaps on the share price. Your share price has gone higher, pulled back a bit recently. Over time, what do you think that's going to do for FPX's investability?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's nice to get that validation. We're, you know, there's not that many nickel companies that have been included in that nickel miners ETF. Sprott, obviously a big brand name in the mining business. And so good, again, another source of validation and endorsement for what we're doing here at FPX. You know, I would note that that ETF appears to be relatively small today. I believe last time I saw the assets under management, we're less than $2 million. So it starts quite small, which these things do. And over time, they tend to grow where they have success. You know, it's interesting sort of investable product for nickel. There are not a lot of sort of large cap ways to play nickel. And so the emergence of an ETF is I think, an interesting addition. You know, if you look at Sprott's other suite of products, they have a relatively similar uranium miners ETF that has assets under management over 800 million. This is not the physical trust of uranium, but rather their ETF that's focused on the uranium juniors and miners. And you can well see that if the nickel ETF grows anything close to that scale, that that would entail a lot of buying of the securities that are included in that ETF. And so to the extent FPX continues to be included in that ETF going forward and it grows, that could lead to significantly more buying on market, which is obviously what we like to see.
And imagine if they did a physical nickel trust, maybe they could do for nickel what they did for uranium.
Yeah, nickel a bit harder market, I think, to move that way, but certainly an interesting thought.
Okay, so interesting what's happening with the share price. You know, we've definitely seen a lot more volume and a lot more interest recently.
Yeah, it's been, you know, yes and no, I would say. It's been, I think, generally a relatively difficult first quarter of 2023 for most of the junior nickel miners. We look out at the sort of the basket of the peers that we compare ourselves to. That basket is down, you know, circa 20% or so. We're flat, maybe a little bit positive on the year to date, and still well off where we think we can be here going forward. This Jogbeck news is just the latest in a string of good news events for us. Frankly, we haven't yet seen the reaction we'd like to see in that, but I guess that creates an opportunity for people to look at the stock right now.
And finally, I guess we should cover the nickel price. Right now, as of last Friday, it was trading, I think, $10.60 US. Copper is just over $4. So we comfortable at this level, or we think it's going higher?
Yeah, I think the nickel price has been moderating since the beginning of 2023, coming down a little bit. And I think that's more reflective of, let's say, the LME nickel contract is starting to function a bit more accurately, I think, as to the underlying, you know, purchase and sale of nickel units between between suppliers and customers. The nickel LME nickel price benchmark has been effectively broken for some time, and what that's led to in more recent times here, as it starts to regain health, is a slightly lower nickel price, which is what we envisioned, than what the $12 to $14 a pound range that we'd had earlier this year. But at the same time, we're seeing reduction or contraction in the spreads between other ancillary nickel products like ferronickel and nickel sulfate, the premiums and or discounts of those products to the LME metal price is narrowing. All of that just speaks to a more healthy functioning market, which I think is ultimately good. People need to trust that LME nickel price to be able to be comfortable to even invest in the nickel space. So we need that LME contract to be healthy and robust, which I think is the direction we're heading in. For FPX, you know, our next major milestone is working on a PFS. That'll be done by the third quarter of this year. You know, our PEA that we did in 2020 showed that we'd be producing nickel at under $3 US a pound. So a nickel price above $10 US a pound is obviously very robust for our project.
And what kind of IRR, give us a range of what you're thinking the IRR is going to be?
Yeah, so the IRR at a lower nickel price, at a price of $7.75 US a pound in the 2020 PEA, was about 18% on an after-tax basis. You know, this is a long life, 35-year project. And so, you know, the discounting effects of those long life cash flows lead to relatively low IRRs compared to shorter lived projects. In terms of a range of IRR, I'd say probably too early to be guiding the market too specifically on that for the pre-fees. What we have seen, though, is an increase in the grade of our resource, of the nickel grade. We're likely to see higher recoveries and other efficiencies that we've captured in some of the metallurgical test work. That's going to be counterbalanced to some extent by higher CapEx and higher OpEx. We know, given the inflationary environment that we've been in since 2020, that's just something you can't get around. So in the end, we still are quite confident we'll have robust economics, but I'd say a bit too early to guide people on the exact metrics quite yet.
Yeah, well, one thing for sure, the nickel short squeeze that occurred last year really pointed to the OEMs and the end users that they need to secure their source of nickel with all due haste. And they don't want to be subjected to the vicissitudes of a broken market.
That's correct. And I think when you look at the kind of the root cause of that short squeeze was obviously a large short position. But the real trigger for that happening was the invasion of Ukraine by Russia. Russia is obviously one of the largest nickel producers in the world. So that created all kinds of, you know, tension and concern around supply of nickel units hitting the market from Russia going forward. That in part led to, you know, some of the elements of the Inflation Reduction Act. And, you know, it was interesting. There was new sort of guidance put out by the Treasury Department at the end of last week, at the end of March, guiding the market as to exactly how the IRA would work with respect to subsidies for EVs. And it really reaffirmed that, you know, the critical minerals that go in the EVs have to come from either domestic or free trade sources in order for EVs in the United States to qualify for the full tax credit or rebate. So again, really affirming that you know, the move to electric vehicles in the United States is not just a function of kind of environmental considerations around carbon emissions, but it's now intimately tied to this idea of energy security, energy independence, or at least independence from places like Russia and China and other, you know, entities of concern to the United States and to its allies.
And just as an aside, Tesla's base model, which is dependent upon China for batteries, basically lost all subsidies. So they're serious about it. And I think, looking out over the next year, there's going to be a lot of major events, catalysts taking place for FPX and its shareholders, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, we continue to have a real focus on metallurgy, on continuing to de-risk metallurgy, and to define the exact recovery basis for the pre-feasibility study. We'll be doing that in a news release that the market can expect over the next 4 to 6 weeks, arising from our variability test work. We'll also have news on the production of battery-grade nickel sulfate that we're doing at present as we speak. And so those would be two kind of key news events with respect to metallurgy over the coming months. Beyond that, really the major milestone for us this year is the publication of that pre-feasibility study in the third quarter. That work is well underway, very well on track. And so far, things are going quite well in that regard. That's a major de-risking event that's going to allow us to then potentially get into the permitting process and the environmental assessment process in 2024 and really continue to march on to an ultimate construction decision here in the years to come thereafter.
All right. Well, exciting times for FPX, Nickel. And I suggest you go to the company's website, sign up for notifications, fpxnickel.com. In the U.S., the symbol, ticker symbol is FPOCF. And of course, in Canada, FPX. Martin, exciting times. We will touch base with you shortly thereafter, your next news release, and we'll talk to you then.
Thanks, Kerry.
The Financial Survival Network.